KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly sunny sky, a little bit of sun peeking through the cloud deck up there, and it's 36 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our weather forecast for today is calling for mostly cloudy skies with areas of fog this morning, then partly cloudy this afternoon, a high of 46. In the news, a little more than 1 week before patrons of the Atlantic Community School District will determine the fate of a $9.5 million bond referendum for facilities improvements. The Atlantic School District's Board of Education will meet this evening in a work session at the high school. And during their session, the board will discuss the 2019-2020 certified budget and upcoming dates of note, including the April 2nd special election, general obligation bond, April regular board meeting and public hearing to be determined, and the IASB, or Iowa Association of School Board Policy Leadership and Legal Issues Conference on April the 18th. The Atlantic Board of Education meeting begins this evening at 5:30 in the high school media center. Police and Council Bluffs say emergency crews responded at around 7:35 a.m. Saturday to Interstate 80 eastbound at around the mile marker 4 for a motor vehicle crash involving a semi-truck. The crash caused authorities to shut down I-80 eastbound for about 4 hours. Traffic had to be rerouted on southbound on I-29. The crash investigation indicated the semi was eastbound on I-80 and lost control on the curb, striking a guardrail. The semi rolled over, spilling its load, which included an empty tanker truck it was hauling. Debris and diesel fuel covered all of the eastbound lanes of traffic. Heavy towing equipment and the Iowa Department of Transportation served to remove the vehicles and clean up the debris from the roadway. The driver of the semi suffered minor injuries. He was cited for failure to maintain control of a motor vehicle. Unfortunately, other predetermined traffic routes were unavailable due to flooding and construction road closures, and that caused major traffic backups in the areas of Highway 92 at Wabash and Harry Langdon Avenue and the South Expressway. Officials say they apologize for the inconvenience that may have caused the motoring public. The case was investigated by the Council Bluffs Police Department's traffic unit. Well, President Trump has issued an order this weekend that extends federal aid to help Iowans recover from severe storms and flooding. Federal assistance is available to individuals in 5 western Iowa counties. Residents of Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, and Woodbury can apply for federal grants to cover temporary housing and home repairs. Low-interest federal loans are now available in those 5 counties to cover uninsured losses on personal and business property. Federal aid is also available to the state of Iowa, as well as tribal and local governments in 56 counties to cover emergency work.
Public infrastructure damages totaled approximately $77 million. Those are initial estimates.
That's Joyce Flynn, director of the Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management. On Friday, Governor Reynolds submitted a total damage estimate of nearly $1.6 billion for losses associated with the flooding. And that includes an initial estimate of farm-related flood losses.
We had gotten an estimate from Fremont County of $107 million, so we basically doubled that, figuring that Mills County had similar impacts. We also looked at the miles of levee, both core levees and non-core levees, and attached a estimated figure to repair all of those.
That estimate indicates it would have cost more than $500 million to fix the levees damaged in southwest Iowa. The president's disaster declaration does not immediately trigger federal funding for levee repairs. Governor Kim Reynolds Saturday announced that President Trump had approved the disaster declarations for 56 counties, including Shelby, which frees up federal aid for areas devastated by recent flooding. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Alex Longo said Saturday that while the county will get federal assistance from FEMA to help with the long-term recovery, the county has not been granted individual assistance, as I spoke of earlier. Longo says, regardless, we're going to continue to work diligently to access this program for those in need. We stressed how important it is for Shelby County residents, especially those that sustained structural damage, to call 1-800-621-3362 or go to www.disasterassistance.gov and report all damage. By reporting damage, Londo said, you may be assisting others in Shelby County in accessing funds to repair severely damaged homes. Defiance, Harlan, and Shelby all saw homes that were in a major damage category, Londo said. Some of those receiving damage are unable to access the current low-income individual assistance program and have been denied assistance from homeowners insurance. The FEMA IAP, he said, would potentially allow access to funds to repair those homes. Londo said, even if you have reported damage already to the Shelby County EMA and have received a visit by one of their staffers, you should still call 800-621-3362 or go to the disaster assistance website I mentioned and report it again. That's especially true, he says, if you have a basement wall failure or near failure in your home. Rainstorms expected later this week could lead to another crest along the Missouri River and its tributaries, just as residents are cleaning up from the spring's flooding. National Weather Service hydrologist Kevin Lowe says that more than an inch of rain is expected to fall in Nebraska and Iowa later this week. Lowe says the storms between Wednesday and Friday could create a one-foot rise in the level of Missouri River around Omaha and cities downstream starting next weekend. That's not yet clear how much additional flooding that rise could create. And even as floodwaters receded in hard-hit areas in the Midwest in some locations, experts warned over the weekend that with plenty of snowmelt still left in the northern states, the relief may be only temporary. Rainfall and some snowmelt spurred flooding in recent weeks. That's blamed in three deaths so far, with two men in Nebraska missing for more than a week. Thousands were forced from their homes in Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri as water broke through or poured over levees in the region. The damage was estimated at $3 billion, and that figure was expected to rise as temperatures started to warm. Snowmelt in the Dakotas and Minnesota will escalate, sending more water down the Missouri and Mississippi rivers and their tributaries. Lieutenant Colonel James Starzl, Deputy Commander of the Corps of Engineers Omaha, Nebraska District, said even warmer temperatures are possible this week, and he urged people living near rivers to be watchful. Contaminants that escape from flooded farm fields, industrial operations, and sewage plants are part of the murky water now saturating homes. In Fremont County, homes remain underwater, so it will be some time before residents can return, according to County Supervisor Randy Hickey, who said that we don't want them in that water anyway. Experts also warned that sharp objects, broken glass, pieces of metal, pointy sticks, and rocks could be lurking in the muddy debris. Downed or broken power lines may also pose an electrocution hazard. Another risk posed is by wildlife. Two people in Buchanan County, Missouri, were bitten by snakes after they returned home following flooding in 2011. Even the lower Mississippi River was impacted. U.S. Coast Guard on Friday rescued two boaters from a disabled vessel near New Orleans. Coast Guard officials say the flooding means more debris in the river, and the currents can pull a boat into danger. Well, key officials say Iowans who aren't in a flood zone today should prepare for flooding. State climatologist Justin Glisson says 2018 was the second wettest year on record, and the ground is saturated, creating concerns as the snow in Minnesota's melts and continues to drain south.
If we get into a regime with active precipitation patterns, we could be in a very bad position.
Glisson says forecast models indicate that there will be above average precipitation in the weeks ahead. The 147 years of record keeping weather records for Iowa shows the atmosphere and surface temperatures are warming, and that means it's more likely to rain, according to Glisson.
What we're seeing over the past 30 years is that the intensity of precipitation events is increasing, and we're also seeing them lock into specific parts of the Midwest and even over Iowa. You're getting rainfall rates in which infrastructure can't keep up.
Glisson cites last summer's flash flooding in central Iowa that caused when as much as 8 inches of rain fell in 3 hours. Joyce Flynn, director of Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management, says community leaders should consider how to protect their key infrastructure, like drinking water plants, from flooding.
We're focused on the Missouri River right now, but there are a lot of the interior rivers that are high as well, and there's a potential for flooding on the Mississippi. So we're reaching out to those folks. Many of them are taking those proactive measures, because when you lose a water system, that's hard to recover from quickly.
Floodwaters have swamped three southwest Iowa communities in the past week. Flynn and Glisson made their comments on Friday during a taping of the Iowa Press Program. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.